This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, with our instant inspiration. How many of you have ever been yo-yos? Probably all of you. If you've ever watched a game of tennis, your head goes drip, 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 back and forth. Life is like a game of tennis, said Bill Tilden. The person who serves well seldom loses. Person who serves well seldom loses. Life is like a game of tennis. It's give and take, back and forth, all sorts of wonderful ways of expressing oneself, all sorts of wonderful ways of doing the game. But how many people play it well? How many people learn how to serve well? Very few people learn how to serve well. They just get up there and wham and wham and wham. Instead of saying, I'm going to put this in the back corner. I'm going to put this in the left, right, middle. I'm going to put it just beyond, just inside the line before it's marked out. I'm going to do these things. How many people say that? They just grab the ball with the best way they can with the racket and away they go. No preparation, no plan. But you don't have time to plan. Well, you always have time to plan. Your mind can work on split-level programming. You can stand there and you can hit a golf ball and you can say, I'm going to put it here, I'm going to put it there, and put it there. You can say it's going to go straight down the fairway and put it there. You can put it wherever you want because golf, tennis, any other game is all mental. Whatever you choose to do. Now, do you choose to win every game? No, that'd be boring. You choose to win most of them, but not all of them. Because if you win all of them, you're not a good player to play with, and you're not a good, you're not happy with being playing because you know you just always win and there's no challenge. The person who serves well seldom loses. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Let's look at that from all the points of view that it can be. The person who serves well seldom loses. Say, for instance, you have the outrageous idea of being independently wealthy. Wouldn't that be something? To be independently wealthy. Have you prepared yourself to be independently wealthy? And the answer is no. You say yes, you say, oh, of course I have. No, you haven't. Do you know what it's like to be independently wealthy mentally? All right, what's it like to be independently wealthy? Go ahead, tell me.
Whatever comes to mind.
No. Tell me what is it like to you to be independently wealthy.
To me?
Yeah, you said, yes, you know what it's like.
No. Well, then I don't know.
No. To be independently wealthy, I would fulfill my dream of XYZ. You understand? To be independently wealthy, I would buy a castle in Spain. I would buy a Rolls Royce. I would buy
an island.
But you see, you don't know what it is to be independently wealthy. I'm sorry.
For me, that's not independently wealth. Independent wealth for me is without plan. Just whatever comes naturally is always
available.
It means it's always available. Yeah.
Good. Well, the way I teach independent wealth is that you have the ability to think wealth. You have the ability to think accomplishment of whatever it is that you have in your mind. Nothing is beyond your imagination. Nothing has to go in steps. Everything is just whatever you want, whenever you want. Well, good. The point that I'm making here is, if you cannot visualize being a queen, you will never be a queen. If you can't visualize being a princess, you'll never be a princess. If you can't visualize being the president of IBM, you can never be the president of IBM. Because you don't know that you're capable of doing them. You don't know that you have the capacity within you to accomplish whatever goal you want. Now, I'm saying here, the person who serves well, like in tennis, seldom loses. The reason for that, the person who serves well, they have prepared themselves. Number one, in tennis, the person who serves well is a person usually in good condition. Not extremely athletic, you understand? But in good condition. They can take the tennis racket and they can put it behind their head and put it here and put it through their legs and they can put it anywhere and not feel strain. You understand? If you feel strain, then you're not going to be a good winner. In fact, you're not going to be a winner because you're thinking about your strain. You're thinking about the pain. As long as you think about your strain and pain, you are not thinking about being a winner. Okay? So, when your body is flexible, you know, when your body is limber and lithe, and you can do these things, then you can play well. It's not how whammo you hit the ball. It's not how well you pick up the hit, but it's how well you deliver it. Because you can catch every single ball that comes your way and just run your heart out. And the other person over there is just having a ball with you. They basically are standing in the middle. Because you are thinking of them that they're basically standing in the middle, so you hit it to them. Now, if you planned it, you'd put the ball to the right corner, the left corner, or you'd put the ball where they are not. And they believe you're going to put the ball where they are. And because they believe you're going to put the ball where they are, they're creating you putting the ball where they are. And this is a very idiotic thing for us to do, because we are playing right into their hand. Now, if you're going to, let's back up to the millionaire again, or independently wealthy. If you're going to be independently wealthy, what really does it mean? Does it mean you have all the money that you can use? Or does it mean that whatever you choose to have, you have? Now that would be something Sylvia would agree to. Whatever you choose to have, you have, right? No?
Right.
Yes? Okay. So whatever you choose to have, you have. If that is true, then you don't go around asking how much it costs. You don't go around pricing it. You don't go looking at the luncheon menu for the most expensive food and then order it. You look for something that you want to eat, something that pleases you, something that's delightful. And it may be the cheapest thing on there. It may be just some rice, or it may be what the most expensive. It doesn't matter. But if you are wealthy, you don't even look at the prices on the menu. You look at your stomach, and your stomach says, I feel like this today, and then you go and get it. And it may just be a salad, and it may be a steak dinner. Who knows what it is? But the thing is, you are independently wealthy when whatever you choose to have, you have. Whatever you choose to experience, you experience. Now, how do we build up the consciousness of being able to do that? How do we build up the consciousness? We build up the consciousness of being able to do that by living in a wealthy state of mind. Now, a wealthy state of mind, again, is not necessarily money, because what would you like to have? The golden egg or the golden goose? The golden egg is a limited amount of money. Once it's gone, it's gone. The golden goose, it lays the golden eggs continuously. So, you say, I'd like to have $5 billion, and you think that's a great amount of money. Okay, you have $5 billion. Well, now, you are not the kind of person who knows how to make it grow. You're the kind of person who knows how to make it go. And so you start spending it without thinking of investing it. Oh, $5 billion, my goodness sake, I can't even count it. I certainly couldn't spend it too fast. Well, then after 2 years you're down to $2 billion. Say, well, what happened? Well, you have all of this paraphernalia, all this possession that you have to take care of and that you have to be concerned about, and that you're running around buying. I can buy anything I want, so I'm buying this house, I'm buying that, I'm buying it. You don't want to sell it? Well, then what do you think it would be worth if somebody came along that was crazy? Well, X. Okay, here's X. And wow, you know. And this is not independent wealth. Independent wealth is when money just gravitates to you, when things just gravitate to you. No matter what it is that you would like to experience, it just comes your way. It comes your way because your consciousness is ready for it, because you have trained yourself to be a good server, and a good server very seldom loses. So, to be a good server, You have to build in your consciousness the capacity to have the thing that you'd like. Now, I feel a lot of tension here. I feel a lot of rebuttal. I feel a lot of feeling that what I'm saying is not exactly your opinion, and that's fine. You're welcome to have that. But whenever I'm talking, or whenever anybody's talking, if instead of rebutting, you think, let's see how that could be. Let's see how what they say could function. Let's consider that as a possibility. Then you're getting some benefit out of what you're sitting listening to, instead of just having a repartee, a discussion or a fight. Whereas if you listen gently and carefully and hear all that is said, and then perhaps apply it and find out it's not for you, it's not reasonable, then give it up at a different time. But while you're having the program, while you're reading the book, The Art and Science of Wholeness, while you're reading, the people who did get nothing from the course are the ones who critiqued the book as they were reading it. They critiqued the book on how well or how poorly it was written. They critiqued it. They critiqued the book on the basis of how many misspellings were in there and things like that. Well, my goodness. If you were to look at God and say, God, you got one toenail bigger than the other, God would say, and? You wish you had it that way too? You do. So, you see, we should critique the beauty that we see, the blessings that we see. Now, Ellen throws at us an island, and Ellen, how big is the island? Ellen, and I'm not asking this a rhetorical question. How big is the island? How many houses does it have? Does it have an electrical system on it? Does it have a water system on it? Does it have a radio station and a television station on it? Does it beam wherever you want to go and send these out through the satellite, making it available? Does it have limpid, warm temperatures year-round? Does it have any critters like snakes or ants or bees or bugs? Or does it have any flies or mosquitoes or anything like that? And of course, your answer is no. So, you see, when you live in this consciousness that those things just don't exist, then you are really independently wealthy. Now, you were just talking about an island, and in your mind you visualized an island like we have on our screen. A little tiny island that's nothing, and the wind comes along and blows it away, and then as soon as it's over, then up it comes again. The palm trees are still there. But you see, that's an unfortunate visualization for anybody.
Yeah, that's not unlimited.
No, the island that should be there should be a couple of square miles, you know, yeah. And it should have lovely beaches and things that you might want. But when you have that as your, what do you say, role model, your goal, then you're limiting yourself. And you don't want to limit yourself. You want to be broad and beautiful and good. Mm-hmm. Now, life is like a game of tennis. Are you prepared to play the game? Are you prepared to play against people who don't know how to play and make them still feel good about themselves? Are you prepared to play against people who are very, very good, and sometimes they win and sometimes you do, and you don't feel badly about it because you're so good? How are you prepared to play? How are you prepared to play? Are you prepared to play in a way that you're the winner now and then, or all the time? How are you? You're going to be a tennis pro. So, what exercises do you do? You don't have to do any, actually. But let's just say that you're a tennis pro and you're a human being yet. So, you practice. You practice regularly. You practice 2 or 3 hours a day on your swing and your approach and all those good things. Being on the tennis court doesn't count, because there you're not practicing. When you practice, you always win. And when you're on the court, then sometimes you lose. So now, What do you want to do? Second part of our statement here is, person who serves well seldom loses. So always consider yourself as a good server. Always consider yourself that you put the ball where you want to go. You don't just hit it and hope it goes somewhere. You put it where you want it to go. Same in golf. You put the ball where you want it to go. Now, somebody was saying to me that I'm a very good golfer because I parred and birdied a lot of holes and the course when I was a youngster. But I would be out there every afternoon when I got off work. The sun was still up, and so I'd practice for 2 or 3 hours on the game, and I became very proficient at it and had a lot of fun. But I never played against anybody. I just played against myself and the other caddies who went around the course with me, and they were just duffers, just hitting the ball and hoping it'd go in the direction they wanted to go. But it's an art. It's a real art. Because you think, here is the tee, and here is the green, and you want to go from here to here. And there's a hole in the green. And they move the hole around now and then. And so you have to know where that hole is. So a good golfer does what first?
Visualization.
A good golfer does what first? He walks the course. He walks the course to find out where it's going, how it is on that particular day, where the holes are, even though the flag is in the hole, tells him where it is, but he wants to know where the holes are. He wants to know how the roll is as it comes to approach the hole, and he wants to know how the course is. Well, when he does that, he comes up with a winner. When he doesn't, he shows no interest. Now, there are some guys who can go out and be winners of playing golf without any preparation at all. How do they do that?
Visualization.
They just see themselves doing it, and they do it. They're not in competition to anything. They just go ahead and do it. They have a good time. Now, this golf pro at La Costa that I had talked about before, he was teaching golf to a class that I was attending. Not golf, tennis. And he was picking his nose with one finger there and hitting the ball between his legs with the other and just, you know, being very casual. And people say, well, how can you do that? You teach us to keep our eye on the ball and keep our stance and you know, that sort of thing. And he says, well, that's all good. I have to teach you that because that's what the requirement is. But actually, if you will just concentrate on the ball, how you're receiving the ball, doesn't matter where you're standing, and you make sure that the ball goes at the angle you want it to go. Now, it's impossible to do that in a physical effort. In a mental effort, you can see it go just where you want it to go. Because the ball hits the racket as it's back here, and by the time it leaves the racket has already moved into a different position. And so the racket's chasing the ball, so to speak. But when it leaves the racket, it's not really where you thought it was. That's why you go duck and duck and duck. If you carry through, then you're prepared to be on the carry through part and not on the duck part. And this is part of the art of a good show. And that's why the person who serves well seldom loses. And when we serve well, we'll never lose. Because it's a wonderful game that we're playing, and we enjoy it very thoroughly. So, happy golfing. Life is a game of tennis. Play it with preparation.